America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 911 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This year, let us humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government. This is part four in this series. We are in preparation for the primary election, and this will actually be the last time we preach this before the general election as well. So all of these principles really will hold true for the primary or the general election. If you haven't yet registered to vote for the primary election, sadly, you're too late to register or to change your party affiliation. That deadline has already passed, but we do encourage you to still register so that you can be ready to vote in the general election if you haven't yet registered to vote. If you are registered, we want to encourage you to educate yourself on what the Bible says about government, because the Bible does speak not only to your personal life, to your family, to your church, it also speaks about our communities. It speaks about our government at the local, state, and federal levels. And we can apply biblical principles to government. Don't believe me? Well, hey, the founding fathers, one of the books that really influenced them, or really it wasn't just one book, but it was a set of books called The Treatise on Government by John Locke. He actually had 2,000 biblical passages that were footnotes to back up the points that he made in those treaties. So it's very important that you actually look at this, and that you study God's word. And that's what we're trying to do here today. If you've missed any of the previous sermons, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or to our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, and you can see those previous sermon videos. But just to go over some deadlines that haven't yet happened, early voting will start August 10th and will go through the 17th. In some areas, it might even start earlier, and the election day for the primary will be on the 20th of August. Now, some people just totally skip the primary, but really, I want to encourage you not to do that. In some cases, we will be electing local officials. In some cases, we'll be electing school board members. In some areas, you'll be selecting the person who's going to run on the Republican or Democratic side for that office. And it's very important that someone, the person who most closely represents the principles of the Bible, is actually represented there. And so I want to encourage you to actually go and register to vote. Again, if you haven't registered for the primary, you're too late to vote in the primary, but still register. But definitely look at what God says about government, and also educate yourself on where the candidates stand. And we do have voter guides out, by the way, for the local election in St. Lucie County. We have other voter guides on their way that will be out soon. We also do, in addition to this, have other voter guides that cover other races that you can actually get at FloridaVotesValues.com. Again, FloridaVotesValues.com. For the general election, if you haven't registered to vote and you want to vote in the general election, the deadline to register is October the 7th. Absentee ballots will be mailed out sometime between September 26th and October 3rd. So those are some dates. Early voting will start October 26th, go through November 2nd, and Election Day will be November 5th. In addition to the presidential election and other partisan races, we will also have Amendment 4 on the ballot. We have gone over that extensively, and we will go over that even more, but we want to encourage you to vote no on Amendment 4. Amendment 4 would allow abortion to the moment of birth. The Bible says that we need to protect every innocent human life. So I'm imploring you to defend innocent human life and vote no. But even if you reject the clear teaching of the Bible, certainly we should not be allowing abortion until the moment of birth. By the way, again, I don't believe it should be allowed at all. There's never a reason to rip a baby limb from limb, to slice a baby's arms and legs off, crush her skull. There's never a reason to crush that baby girl or to poison that baby girl or to cause the mother to cut off estrogen and other hormones that are necessary to that development of that baby, and then to cause that mother to have a violent delivery where she delivers her own dead baby girl or her own dead baby boy on her own toilet in her bathroom and actually sees not a blob of tissue, but a perfectly formed, although very tiny, human being in the toilet. Women are being traumatized by this today, but it's something that we need to stand for life. We need to vote no on Amendment 4. So we have gone over various issues. We're gonna dive in to some new issues today, and we're gonna quote from the Bible. We're also going to quote from founding fathers and Richard Henry Lee, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, said this: "It is certainly true that a popular government cannot flourish without virtue in the people." And Jedediah Morse, patriot and father of American geography, said this: "To the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys. Whenever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present republican form of government and all blessings which flow from them must fall with them." And our first biblical principle today is that rulers must live within their means. So when we look at this, first of all, we're going to talk about and reference 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 9 through 18. We'll also reference the 6th, 8th, and 10th commandments in the 10 commandments. But in 1 Samuel 8, what happened is the children of Israel asked Samuel for a king. Samuel goes to God and says, "God, you know, I don't know what's happened here." And God says, "They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. Appoint them a king, but warn them how the king will act." And so Samuel goes and warns the people how the king would act. One of the consequences of having a king was that they were going to pay taxes. In fact, this king was going to be so tyrannical that he was going to exact 10% of their income as taxation. And so there you see that God actually defines tyranny, a tyrannical amount, a percentage of taxation at 10%. Any government that requires as much from you as God requires of you is a tyrant. By the way, God does require that we give a tenth of all of our earnings, of our increase, and that is with the tithe. At the time of the founding of this country, the thought of a 10% tax was totally absurd. Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac wrote this: "It would be a hard government that should tax its people 1/10 part of their income." So they thought it was totally absurd that a government would actually collect 10% in taxes. And yet today, the government doesn't stop for most people. Certainly, there are some people that pay, that actually get money back that they didn't pay in. But many people in America pay taxes. In fact, even those that get money back are still paying taxes. And the taxes come in a number of ways, so many ways, that if we were to count all the ways that you are taxed, we would not finish in time today. But just think about it. You have payroll taxes, which include not only withholding, but Social Security and Medicare. Your employer also matches, in some cases, pays even a higher percentage of those than the employee pays as well. The employer also pays unemployment tax. In addition to that, you have your income tax, which the withholding goes and is applied toward that tax. But of course, if you do have some money and you want to pass that on to your heirs, there's what's known as a death tax. When you pay your power bill, there's multiple taxes on your power bill. When you pay your water, even if your water doesn't technically have a tax, it is an income generating process or income generating source for the local government. So in effect, it is a tax. You have to pay a tax to get a driver's license. You have to pay a tax to register a car. In fact, if you're new to the state, and I know we have 1,000 people moving into Florida every single day, and one of the things those people find out when they go to register their car, there's an extra tax. Why? Because they know you can't vote them out yet. And they know that by the time you can vote, that you probably will forget that they actually charged you that tax. Why would you need to pay over $200 just to register a vehicle, $200 extra just to register a vehicle? Well, it's because, like Bill Clinton once said, because I can. Well, it's because they can. When you pay your phone bill, your cell phone bill even has tax. When you pay for cable TV, that has tax. In fact, multiple agencies are dipping into your wallet in these bills. You have federal tax, you have state tax, you have, in many cases, local tax. You have so much tax that we pay in so many different ways. Of course, we pay sales tax as well. And there are, thankfully, we don't have a state income tax or a city income tax. You know, in the city of New York, New York City, the people that live there actually pay a federal tax. They pay a state income tax, and they also pay a city income tax. People are taxed. And by the way, if you go and buy a new car, you're going to be pay tax on that. If you sell that and someone else buys that as a used car, they will pay tax. And then if that is sold again and again and again and again, every time it is sold, the person that buys it will pay tax. There's taxes on mortgages. There's taxes on property. In fact, you don't really own your property. The government does. Really, you should own it. It's unbiblical and unjust to have property tax, but we do pay it. And look at your property tax bill. Look at how many agencies are taking money out of your wallet that you're having to pay for. These agencies have hearings, and you can go to those hearings and protest. Very few people do. And really, part of the reason is they hold those hearings sometimes during the hours where people are working. It's very difficult to get a grasp of how much you pay in taxes. When you go to actually fill up your gas tank, if you have a gasoline car, you are paying gas tax, in many cases, federal, state, and local gas tax. Quite a bit of tax is involved there. When we talk about taxation, what we're talking about is really we're talking about taking a certain part of a person's life. If you pay $10,000 in taxes or $1,000 in taxes or $100 in taxes, it took you a certain amount of time to earn that money. And that amount is lost. And so taxation, excessive taxation, is really a violation of the sixth commandment. Also, it's a violation of the eighth commandment because really government is taking more than what they should take. And I believe that that is theft. I've seen, and you probably have seen, bumper stickers that say you shouldn't steal because the government doesn't like competition. And we really need to realize that when the government, if you go to an ATM and you withdraw money and someone holds you up with a gun and takes that money, they're a thief. And hopefully, depending on how much they stole in some states, they won't even go to jail or be arrested. But hopefully they would actually be arrested and you would actually get some sort of money back. But one of the things that we see in today's world is that the government can take that same amount of money from you and nothing happens to them. They're allowed to do it. And in fact, if you protest or if you refuse to pay, then they will come after you. You also have the 10th commandment. The 10th commandment is that you shall not covet. And really, we have an entire political party in this country that a major portion of their philosophy is based on coveting. And they are talking about having the rich pay their fair share. And while the rich need to pay their fair share, you know that federal income tax was actually foisted upon the American people under the guise of having the rich pay their fair share. And yet now, virtually everyone that makes a little bit of money actually pays federal income tax. And so this is something that definitely you have people out there, and really there's people that want what other people have. And there are poor people that are envying those who are rich rather than realizing that they live in the freest country on the planet. They live in a country where people come here from other countries. They live multiple families in one house. They work 80 hours a week. They work hard. They learn. They build. They buy businesses. And within 5 to 10 years, people that came here with nothing are wealthy. And the poor have the opportunity to do that in America. Yet rather than instilling within someone that hope that you can rise up, that you can gain wealth, that you can gain skills, that you can earn more money, you can work more hours, you can work smarter, and not just harder, but smarter as well. Rather than instilling within people that hope, there's a certain party that says, well, really, why you're in this situation is because the rich man is oppressing you. And we need to make sure that the rich pay their fair share. What really needs to happen is we need to stop coveting what other people have. I remember being a young boy and driving down the road with my dad and seeing a guy driving a sports car. And I said, "Dad, wouldn't you like to have that car?" And he said, "No, that's his car. I'm happy that he has that car. I need to be satisfied with what God has given me." And certainly there were some times where it might have been nice to have a different car. I mean, I remember sometimes where we had one car that wouldn't shift out of first gear half the time. My dad would have to pull over and pull up the hood and clank something underneath the car or near the engine or the transmission or something, and then he could get it to shift out of first gear. You know, you can imagine driving through town only getting up to about 30 miles an hour with your engine going at a very high RPM just to get to that level. Well, you know, he still didn't covet what someone else had, and we should not covet what other people have. So rulers need to really live within their means and not go out and actually take too much money. And really, a lot of the government money is actually being wasted. The government is actually just foolishly spending our money, spending money on things that really don't make any sense, and a lot of times spending more money than what is necessary to actually get the job done. We could preach entire sermons on just this topic alone. Rulers must also stay within their delegated authority and provide checks and balances to others. The founding fathers looked at a verse in the Bible from Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, that says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." From this, they got the idea of the separation of powers, that there should be a judge, and that's where the judicial branch of government came from. There should be a lawgiver, that's where the legislative branch should come from. And then there's the king, which is the executive branch of government. And you have the founding fathers, really, they realized and they believed that men were wicked. The Bible teaches that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that power can corrupt, and that people, when they are given a power and authority, should have checks and balances. And you should have the executive branch checking the judicial branch and the legislative branch, and you should have the legislative branch checking the judicial branch and the executive branch. You should have all the branches should be keeping each other in check and making sure that they are doing what they need to do. We also see a principle in the Bible of limited government. Government should not be expansive and should not do everything that it does today. And we turn to Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, and we look at what's called the Jethro principle. We talked about this, I believe it was last week, maybe the week before. But what had happened was Moses was sitting in judgment, and everyone that had a case would come before Moses. There was, by the way, over 1 million people in Israel at that time. So you can imagine 1 million people all coming to one man for their help. And so you see this, really what they had is a super centralized form of government, even though it was very simple. You just had everyone coming to one person. Jethro says, "What in the world are you doing? You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear the people out. What you need to do," he says this, verse 21 of Exodus 18, "Moreover, you shall select from among the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." So the founding fathers actually got the idea from this that we should have a federal government, We should have a state government, and we should have local government, and we should have self-government. Whatever you can do for yourself, you should do for yourself. You shouldn't go to government asking them to do what you are able to do but are unwilling to do. You need to do for yourself what you are able to do. Even above that, go to your family, go to your church. Really, we shouldn't be having the welfare that we have in this country. You know, we talked a little bit ago about people coming to this country and actually working hard and earning money and being wealthy within a few years. Well, you know, there are people in this country that won't work harder, because if they do, they'll make more money and they'll lose a check. And that check is actually guaranteeing that they will be in poverty for the rest of their lives. They're so afraid of earning more money that they won't take that position as an assistant manager or a manager. They won't work more hours, because if they do, they'll lose their check. So we should really do what we can do for ourselves, and then local government should do whatever the individual people can't do. But there are certain things that local government can't handle, and those should go up to the state government. And only the things that the state government can't do, or the local government can't do, or the individuals can't do, should be done by the federal government. The Constitution lays out the authority for a very small federal government, yet we have a very expansive federal government that constantly is usurping the powers or exceeding the powers that are vested in them by the Constitution. And we need to return to a place where we have limited government. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 9-1-1 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This year, let us humble ourselves and pray. Seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, so that he might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Before I knew my shame.